about Fillmore Straits. This is NabilPod.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the beating heart of the city by the bay, the Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 2nd of March, 2017. On this date in 1936, the Republic of Texas declares independence from Mexico. 1836, the Republic of Texas declares independence from Mexico. 1855, Alexander II becomes Tsar of Russia. In 1861, he signs a law abolishing serfdom in the Russian Empire, earning the informal title of Tsar Liberator, a title nobody ever used. He's assassinated in St. Petersburg in 1881. 1956, Morocco becomes independent from France. 1961, U.S. President John Fitzgerald Kennedy announces the creation of the Peace Corps. 1990, Nelson Mandela is elected head of the African National Congress. After being released from prison about 3 weeks earlier, he becomes president of South Africa in 1994. Birthdays are Sam Houston, Dr. Seuss, Mikhail Gorbachev, Lou Reed, and my mother, Ann Mullen. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. This podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tabilpod.com or send us an email at tabilpod@gmail.com. By the way, if you're on iTunes and you've been having any problems downloading and have had to go directly to the site, please let us know. We've heard some rumors of complications on iTunes. Following up on the Rustaviotti case, the Supreme Court announced that it would hold a final hearing on the 2nd of March, meaning today, regarding the ownership dispute over the television station. It will not be open to the public. The court's 9-judge chamber will consider the case and issue a final ruling. On receiving that news, Rustaviotti director Nika Gvaramia announced the station would lead a rally outside the Supreme Court building that will not stop until the ruling is issued. National Movement and 8 small non-parliamentary opposition parties will participate in the rally as well. Following up on the scandal around the Georgian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Ilya II's head of security, Soso Okanashvili, resigned this week, just days after it was rumored he had fallen out of favor with Ilya's secretary, the infamous Shorena Tetruashvili, and Patriarchate spokesman Father Mikhail Botkoveli. 17 other members of the security staff resigned as well. In a recent interview, Botkoveli referred to Okanashvili as a scoundrel. After announcing his resignation, Okanashvili told Rustaviotti that he had fallen victim to intrigues inside the Patriarchate. He also said he had a difficult relationship with Shorena Tetruashvili, who is rumored to have a bunch of power within Ilya's inner circle. Okanashvili is the son-in-law of the Metropolitan of Batumi, which is kind of like the archbishop, or really cardinal, Dmitry Shiolashvili. Shiolashvili is Ilya's nephew and considered a potential successor. Ilya is 84 years old, and a whole lot of this relates to succession for him. After that story broke, prosecutors told media that Archpriest Georgi Mamaladze, the man who was arrested with cyanide last month and accused of attempting to murder Ilya, then to be accused of attempting to murder Tetruashvili, instead is not cooperating with investigators. Prosecutor Georgi Tsiklauri told members of the media that Mamaladze refuses to answer questions and is instead cursing the prosecutors and law enforcement agencies in general. Mamaladze is being held at Matrosov prison in Kurtsanisi. The case is still a mystery because the prosecutor's office won't make any information public and has enforced a gag order on Mamaladze's lawyers. The only prominent person who is talking to media is Father Petre Tsava, the Metropolitan of Chkondidi. Tsava insists that Mamaladze is innocent and is being framed by Tetruashvili. Follow up on visa liberalization. The Council of the European Union signed off on the visa liberalization measure passed by the EU Parliament in early February, meaning that visa-free travel is officially a done deal. Regulation will enter into force on the 28th of March. Holders of Georgian passports will be able to travel in the Schengen zone without visas for periods up to 90 days within any 180-day period. On Wednesday, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili signed an official document with the EU to finalize the process. The document also covers the suspension mechanism, which will allow EU member states to temporarily reimpose visa requirements on Georgians under emergency circumstances. In travel to and from Georgia, Foreign Minister John Alidze was in Switzerland for a meeting of the UN Human Rights Council. He addressed the council and had a separate meeting with Swiss Foreign Minister Dieter Buchalter. His address focused on the human rights situation in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Four-member delegation from the U.S. Congress, House of Representatives, was in Tbilisi over the weekend as part of the House Democracy Partnership, an initiative of the House of Representatives that works with partner countries around the world to support legislative effectiveness. The four visitors were Republicans Pete Roskam and Adrian Smith, and Democrats David Price and Gary Conley. Roskam's from Illinois and has evidently been avoiding constituents and not holding so many town hall meetings for fear of disruptions. But he has time to take a trip to Tbilisi, so that's good. Adrian Smith is a Republican from Nebraska. Among other things, they met with Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze to discuss the constitutional amendment process. The House Democracy Partnership has been working with Georgian Parliament since 2006. Director of the European Energy Community Secretariat, Yanez Kopac, came to Tbilisi this week to meet with Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze. The Energy Minister is working on a draft bill to make Georgia fully compliant with the requirements of the European Energy Community, a body that it joined last year. This is an important body because it is set up more or less to keep the EU unified to deal with Gazprom working hard to deal with such national energy entities, to deal with each national energy entity separately and play them off of each other. So it's great that Georgia is a part of this effort. It's very, very important for the EU, but also for Georgia. Fighting broke out over the weekend in the line of contact separating Nagorno-Karabakh from the rest of Azerbaijan. The shooting started early Saturday morning in the Khojavend and Fizuli regions, which surround Nagorno-Karabakh. Five Azerbaijani soldiers were confirmed killed in the fighting, with each side accusing the other of starting. The bodies were handed over to the Azerbaijani authorities by Nagorno-Karabakh's de facto government. Last April, the long-standing ceasefire broke down and up to 200 people were killed, many of them civilians. A new ceasefire was brokered by Russia, but negotiations over a more long-term settlement have been in stalemate since August. Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev said that he's confident the Southern Gas Corridor will be completed, a 3,500-kilometer pipeline that will stretch from Azerbaijan through Georgia and Turkey into Europe, providing Europe with natural gas from the Caspian Sea. Construction of the pipeline is expected to cost $45 billion. NATO expressed concern over the closing of two checkpoints at the administrative boundary line separating Georgia from Abkhazia, saying the closures will negatively affect the local population and the authorities in Suchumi should reconsider. That criticism was echoed by the UN this week. Currently, the only crossing open to the public is a bridge across the river in Guri near Zugdidi. In late January, local residents of the town of Nabakevi on the Abkhaz side protested the closures, but so far the Abkhaz authorities haven't budged. The Abkhaz clearly want to limit travel from Abkhazia to Georgia, seeing it as a threat, which says a great deal about the situation in Abkhazia right now. Responding to comments from Georgia's special envoy to Russia, Zurab Abashidze, that Russia will ultimately withdraw its recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Karasin said, "No way, Abkhazia and South Ossetia are sovereign and independent states, and Russia's stance on that will not change." Abashidze made those comments during an interview last October where he said that Russia will eventually withdraw its recognition, and that will open the door to restoring diplomatic ties between the two countries. The interview resurfaced on Russian language media this week, prompting a response from Karasin. Media reported the identity of the second military contractor who's being held for ransom in Congo. It's Vyacheslav Plushnikov, a veteran of the Georgian Air Force, who was arrested in 2010 and did 3 years in prison for spying for Russia. The other captive is Soso Osurauli, a former Air Force officer. The two are being held by M23, a rebel group active in eastern Congo. A U.S. citizen sentenced in absentia in Uzbekistan for terrorism was arrested in Batumi International Airport this week, according to the Ministry of Internal Affairs. The man is wanted by Uzbekistan's Interpol Bureau for crimes including terrorism, forming a criminal organization, sabotage, and illegal seizure of ammunition. The man hasn't been named, and currently the authorities are carrying out pre-extradition procedures for sending him back to Uzbekistan. It's a pretty important case considering the nature of the Uzbek government. Wonder how the U.S. Embassy is dealing with it. The Israeli government is moving to stop asylum applications from Georgia. Israel put Georgia on its official list of safe countries, meaning that no one in Georgia faces persecution for their race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political beliefs. That means that asylum requests will be immediately rejected unless in extreme circumstances. Roughly 3,050 Georgians applied for asylum in Israel in 2016, most claiming political repression back home. Four other countries have Georgia on their list of safe countries: Belgium, France, Bulgaria, and Austria. Authorities have decided not to prosecute members of the political party Girchi for planting marijuana plants in their office during the New Year's Eve publicity stunt. Police entered the party's office on the 12th of January and removed 84 plants, which were growing in paper cups. According to the Ministry of Internal Affairs, they've decided the small seedlings didn't contain enough of the illegal cannabis substance to warrant prosecution. In deciding not to prosecute, the authorities got themselves out of a sticky situation. Prosecuting opposition politicians would have been unpopular with much of the public, and ignoring the stunt altogether would have looked like a de facto cannabis legalization. Of course, creating such a dilemma was Girchi's stated goal in carrying out the stunt. The authorities got around it by saying that cannabis is still illegal, but the plants in question didn't meet the requirements for prosecution. At a meeting of the Constitutional Court Commission, Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze said that Otsneba's preference is for the next presidential election not to be decided by direct election, regardless of constitutional reforms. He said that not all changes need to take effect simultaneously, and they would prefer that change to be grandfathered in if it's adopted. The next presidential election is scheduled for 2018. State Security Service reported so far this year, 12 Georgian citizens have been illegally detained at the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. In 2016, there were 134 detentions. The single year record is 163 in 2015. News website Tabula reported that the Ministry of Internal Affairs plans to purchase 104,260 kilos of chocolate and another 125 kilos of caramel. The tender is for just under 1.06 million lari. The application process for the tender will start on the 10th of March. The donut tender will be announced soon. The Georgia National Tourism Administration reported that 294,000 tourists visited Georgia during January and February 2017, a 24.3% increase over the same period last year. Overall international arrivals, which include business and transit, amounted to more than 755, a 10.5% increase from 1 year ago. Arrivals from Germany increased by 35% and from Iran, 438%. The government announced a new extended fund facility agreement with the International Monetary Fund, or IMF. The three-year agreement will make $285 million available and will support the government while it implements long-term reform in the area of pensions, capital markets, land, insurance, among other stuff. Georgia's previous agreement with the IMF expired on the 15th of February. Geostat published new statistics on GDP growth. Year-on-year GDP growth 5.2% during the month of January. The IMF is projecting 4% for 2017. The World Bank is projecting 4.5%. Georgian Airways announced it's launching a direct flight from Tbilisi to Beirut. The route will launch on the 27th of June and depart each Tuesday. From the 29th of July, it will be Tuesdays and Saturdays. Qatar Airways is increasing the frequency of direct flights between Tbilisi and Doha. From the 1st of May onward, flights will depart twice a day. Jimshir, a new whiskey that's being marketed as the first Georgian whiskey in history, will hit shelves next week. Tickets for the Aerosmith concert, scheduled for the 20th of May, sold out in 3 hours after going on sale Saturday morning. The concert will take place at Black Sea Arena and is part of the Check In Georgia project, which is funded in part by the Culture Development Investment Fund. Tennis player Oksana Kalashnikova won the doubles competition at the Hungarian Ladies Open in Budapest this week. She was paired with Su Wei Sui of Taiwan. It was Kalashnikova's fourth double win in the Women's Tennis Association. The judo team won two gold medals at the Dusseldorf Grand Prix, finishing second place overall behind Japan and ahead of Russia and France. Vaja Markvelashvili took gold in the 66-kilo class, and Becca Viniashvili did the same in the 90-kilo class. Nutsa Kobachidze, an education expert who recently earned a doctorate from the University of Hong Kong, won an award from the Commission of Comparative and International Education Society, or CIES. The award goes to one researcher each year who produces an outstanding doctoral dissertation related to social justice and equality. In parliamentary news, Parliament approved a controversial law on surveillance, which will create a new covert surveillance agency under the auspices of the State Security Service. It will have the power to monitor phone, computer, and postal communications and will be able to carry out audio, photo, and video surveillance. The agency's head will be appointed by the Prime Minister from a list of three candidates approved by a 7-member commission. The commission will include the heads of State Security Service, Deputy Head of the Supreme Court, Chairperson of the Parliamentary Legal Issues Committee, Chairperson of the Parliamentary Defense and Security Committee, the Chairperson of the Parliamentary Human Rights and Civil Integration Committee, the Public Defender, and a representative of the government. The bill passed with 87 votes for and 2 against. It was prepared after the Constitutional Court struck down the previous legislation in 2006 on the grounds that it did not meet constitutional requirements. The new bill has been heavily criticized by opposition lawmakers and civil society organizations, especially This Affects You, a coalition of civil society groups that includes the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia. They've criticized the bill on a number of grounds, including the fact that it doesn't meet constitutional requirements, it doesn't have enough safeguards against the abuse on the part of the authorities, which of course is the whole idea in the first place, and it increases the scope of legal surveillance, among other things. This is a sad day for personal privacy in Georgia, and also significantly increases the ability of the government to torment anybody they feel like by using this surveillance information, unfortunately. And it just creates another level of bureaucracy that'll make accountability even more difficult than it already is. Meme this week is a video featuring a restaurant in New York that serves ajarouli khachapuri. Made for non-Georgians, the video explains what an ajarouli khachapuri is, and more importantly, how to eat one, kind of. It's pretty amazing to watch. It's got 11 million views, and interesting to see non-Georgia-connected people becoming infatuated with this infatuation-worthy food. Stuff to Read, Social Sciences in the Caucasus, looks at voting habits among young Georgians. 62% of people ages 18 to 35 report having voted in the parliamentary elections last October compared to 75% of those aged 36 to 55 and 86% of those 56 and up. People in the younger age group were also most likely to report that they didn't vote because they're just not interested in politics. But as they say, you may not be interested in politics, but politics are interested in you. Will Cathcart, who often writes about Georgian issues for the Daily Beast and Vice News, is a longtime Georgia expert and ally, has a heartfelt piece in USA Today this week addressing the possibility that the Republican lawmakers in Congress could repeal the Affordable Care Act. He tells his personal story. Will has cystic fibrosis, a rare lung disease. He's made it thus far due to the medication called Kalydeco, something that he absolutely would not be able to afford without health insurance because of the individual mandate requires younger, healthier Americans to buy insurance. The Affordable Care Act made it financially feasible for his insurer to cover his pre-existing condition, even though the drug costs $300,000 a year. So everybody will wish Will the best, and Obamacare the best as well. Writing for the Atlantic Council, Ariel Cohen expresses the opinion that the Trump-Putin honeymoon is already over. Russia state-sponsored media have been instructed to reduce their coverage of U.S. President. New National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster is a known Russia hawk, and at the Munich Security Conference last month, U.S. representatives, including Vice President Mike Pence, reassured U.S. allies by saying that Russia would uphold the Minsk II ceasefire agreement in eastern Ukraine. Also, White House spokesman Sean Spicer said that Trump expects the Russian government to return Crimea to Ukraine. All of this stuff from Ariel Cohen is, of course, complete posturing. He's a Russia hawk and a Republican shill, and he, like most of his ilk, is a walking glob of embarrassment that the Republican leadership is now composed of agents of the Kremlin. The Sun reports that several international boxers have faked their stats to line up high-paying fights with British boxers. Several of the boxers it mentions are Georgian: Gogita Gorgiladze, Beka Lobjanidze, Georgi Beroshvili, David Gegeshidze, and Zurab Noniashvili. A source told the paper that Lobjanidze's manager created fake records to promote his fights in the UK. One Georgian boxer said anonymously that only three of his listed fights were real and that he has never had a legitimate medical check. Inga Snip, writing for Eurasianet, covers the recent string of labor protests taking place in Tbilisi and Rustavi. She focuses on retail workers at Fresco and Biblus. In most cases, workers took to social media to voice their dissatisfaction with poor working conditions and low salaries. A national movement government dismantled the Labor Inspection Department, which made life easier for companies but left workers unprotected. Otsneba promised they would improve the situation, but in the view of many workers and protesters, they haven't done much. Also for Eurasianet, Michael Cicide writes about the potential for Georgians to get visa-free travel to Russia. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov recently made some insensitive and poorly reasoned arguments where he said that Russia is reluctant to liberalize visas with Georgia because the country is a transit route for terrorists. In fact, it's just the opposite. The terrorists are crossing into Georgia from Russia. It's also hypocritical because Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan have visa-free regimes with Russia, and citizens of each of those countries have joined Daesh in large numbers. In Cicere's view, the comments can be read in two ways. First, it's Russia's presenting the idea of visa liberalization as a reward for Georgia adopting a more accommodating stance towards Russia. On the other hand, it might be a backhanded admission that Russia needs Georgia's cooperation on regional security issues. 1916 Global Hunger Index considers Georgia to have a low level of hunger compared to other developing countries around the world. According to the index, it has higher levels of hunger than Kazakhstan, Serbia, and Russia, but lower levels than Bulgaria, Armenia, and Kyrgyzstan. The Global Hunger Index is prepared by the International Food Policy Research Institute. Long-running political comic strip Doonesbury references Georgia in its newest edition, which features the return of President for Life Gmirs Firpl, who in the strip, looking for a job with Trump as an international security fixer scuzzball, bragged that he had helped Russia with Georgia in 2008. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 140, the average weight in kilograms of an adult male Caucasian tur, a goat-like animal found only in the mountains of Georgia, Dagestan, and Azerbaijan. Synodoc Tbilisi is putting on a Women in Focus film festival from the 8th through the 10th of March. They'll be screening documentary films by female directors at Rustaveli Cinemas, film shows at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. every night. On the 6th of March, Radharami will present the Georgian language translation of Nothing is Real and Everything is Possible by Peter Pomerantsev. an incredibly good book, originally published in English back in 2015. Pomerantsev has been to Georgia many times and is involved with CODA Story, a journalistic project led by Radarami board member Natalia Antalava. The event is at the Writer's House in Georgia. It starts at 6:30 p.m. If you're interested how the world works, if you're in Georgia, do not miss that. It's Monday, the 6th of March, and will be held in Georgian language. Tell all your friends. And definitely get this book for people because it's unbelievably interesting and is an excellent translation. Georgia's annual National English Language Spelling Competition, or NESCGE, will take place at Tbilisi State University on the 25th of March. Competition lasts all day. My personal idea of hell. We'll separate categories for 8th and 9th graders and 10th through 12th graders. The event is free to attend. It's supported by the Peace Corps. The Policy Management and Consulting Group is looking for a new research director to identify opportunities and develop proposals. Interested applicants have until the 8th of March to apply. Send a CV to career, singular, that's C-A-R-E-E-R, at P as in Paul, M as in Mike, C as in corporate intrigue.ge, that's pmc.ge. John Graham Tours is leading an ancient Christianity in the Caucasus tour that will take place from the 30th of May to the 10th of June. The tour covers the most important Christian heritage sites in eastern Georgia and Armenia. Then, from the 12th through the 25th of June, they're putting on a Colchis and Sfaneti tour that begins and ends in Tbilisi, with Ushguli and Umbralauri in between. For more information, send an email to admin@johngrahamtours.com. That is admin@johngraham, J-O-H-N-G-R-A-H-A-M, tours, all written together, .com. For those who don't know, he really knows his stuff, and it's not just because he attended the most glorious university on earth, Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut. Rewoven, an initiative that promotes the work of Georgian carpet makers who use traditional techniques, is arranging a tour on Saturday, the 4th of March, day after tomorrow. Guests will visit weavers in the village of Tetritskado and learn how carpets are made. The one-day tour costs only 60 lari, which covers transportation and lunch. For more information, contact Ryan Smith, project director, at info@rewoven.net. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com, or post the form on our website, www.spielpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1991, from Oakland, California, this is Del, the Funky Homo Sapien, with Mr. Dabalina.
I know I'm drunk now. Ladies and gentlemen, I forgot my favorite man sitting over there. His name is
Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina. 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 Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina.
Behave, you little rug rat. Take a little tip from the tabloid, because I know I'm not paranoid. When I say I saw you trying to mock me, now you and your crew are on a mission trying to hawk me. But it isn't happening, you fraudulent foes. You used to front big time, now I suppose that everything's cool since the style of apparel you adopted. You used to make fun of, but now you want to rock it. So you gotta kick it with the homies. But DEL is already hip to your cronies. Me and CMP thought about this, and never have we seen a brother who would hover like this.
Mr. Dabalina. thought you could fool me. Mr. Dabalina, Cheech Wizard put me on a stuff and then he schooled me. Prince could be fraudulent, just you wait and see. First he was my money grip, then he stole my honey dip. Mr. Dabalina is a serpent, don't you agree? The little two-timer resembles Aunt Jemima, with jeans and a dirty white hoodie. Seems like he wouldn't be a snake, or would he? Disguises come in all sizes and shapes. Notice the facade of the snakes, they all catch the bait. Even though last year there was GQ, took a lot of time before the DEL could see through the mask. All I had to do was ask the Emperor and Kwame, and my man responded he would bomb me. Fraudulent foe with the strength of Hercules. The way you're on my dick must really hurt your knees. You need to take heed and quit being such a groupie. Ever since I did a little show in Guadalupe, I never saw a groupie like you. But what is funny is you wanted to be down with my crew. But DEL is not down with any clowns of justice. So I would suggest that you try to impress Uncle Fester, Dabalina. Because you don't impress me, Dabalina. The style of dress is not the key, Dabalina. It's all on the mind and the heart, so you should start by remembering you gotta pay a fee, Dabalina.
His name is
Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina.